podcast, Picks and Perspective with Chris Johnson.
Heyo. Yeah, I can hear you. Bro.
This looks great.
It looks great. It sounds great. You actually move and yeah, I can see your pretty face.
I want to check something real quick. I feel like I might be using not this mic. I'm curious if it would help. Oh, no, it is using that mic. Dope. What's up, baby?
Hey, I'm here, dude. I'm just waiting for technology to catch up to us fucking far-flung individuals.
I mean, I feel like in a month's time, you won't feel that way. Technology will surpass you quickly.
Oh, yeah. Someday, but for now, I've got more feelings than it does, so fuck off, technology.
This is so true. Dude, have you ever watched the show Fringe before?
No, what's that?
Oh, my God. It was, do you know, I think his name was Charlie from the Mighty Ducks, like the star of the Mighty Ducks.
Okay. I kind of vaguely remember that.
It's that character. I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter what the actor's name is. But basically, the premise is like this crazy mad scientist guy, his son, his name is Peter in the show. It's this Mighty Ducks kid. He's like dying of some like leukemia or some shit as a kid. And then the dad tears a hole in the universe to steal the carbon copy of his son on the other side of the parallel universe.
Ooh.
As his son dies. And then the whole entire show is like how that destroys the universe is just collapsing in on itself ever since that point. Mm. But there's this one character in that show that's called the Observer. And it's really fucking cool. Cause they'll just point out like, you know, it'll show like a painting of like Lincoln's inaugural speech, or it'll show like the assassination of Kennedy. And like, there's always just a picture of one of the observers in like these like mad historical events. Mm. But the premise is that like in the future, we decided that emotions weren't necessary. So that was taken out of our genetic code. And this is what that thing turns into. And
the Observer?
The Observer. And they see time like simultaneously. And it's fucking nuts. They're like supposed to maintain the timelines. It's just a nutty concept.
That every time I see that story brought back into where like, oh, there's time travel or parallel universe travel. And then somebody disturbs something and it fucks everything up. I'm just like, yo, dude, there's no cheat codes. Like, you can't, like, I think that's what life is trying to say, you know, and we're over here going, no, it's got to be able to be, we can totally crack this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we keep telling the stories about, you know, the possibility of trying to crack the code. And, you know, in some ways, like, I mean, hey, like, kudos, dude. Like, I think our intelligence has to explore that, has to explore what if it were just directly the thing that I want? How do I manifest it instantaneously? How do I get it without the work? Right?
Tell me, dude. I want to know.
Right. No, I mean, I think we all want to know. Even the smartest of us that know that, man, if you don't do the work, then do you actually earn? I mean, there's that question, like, do you actually earn the right to hold the fire if you didn't figure out the fire? But here we are in the future holding right. The fire that we didn't learn how to manifest, you know, initially. We're just carrying the torch.
What is that on the shoulders of giants? What's that quote?
Oh, I don't know, but I know what you mean.
We stand on the shoulders of giants or something. Like how everything that we have has been accomplished by everyone before us, right?
Right.
In a certain regard. Also, what you just said was really fucking interesting. Just the idea that like history retells the same types of stories over and over and over again, trying to get it in our fucking head. Mm. Like I forget who I was talking about this with, but we were talking about the concept of like the power of threes. Like why do religions always tell stories where there's like three kings come in on the desert? There are three, it's always three and it's always the same story. And it's like, what is that?
What does three mean to you?
Well, the three thing specifically is something that is, I think, just kind of like the topic of that discussion. But the interesting thing that my mind is now just like tripping on is the retelling of stories, like the fact that we subconsciously like have these books in our DNA that we need to like somehow manifest and retell for like the modern times and for the people that need to hear it. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is other than like a let's exhale some weed smoke and go, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, man. No, I, you know, I'm here with a plate full of fine herbs.
Yes, sir.
I got backups in three different taste varieties over here for this particular session.
What are you working with?
I'm working with this morning. The blend is I took some white runts and some pomelo, about 50-50, roughly 50-50, and that's what's in my raw paper this morning.
Dude, I'm one of the few guys that I know as far as weed smokers that like to come up with my own blends.
Nice.
I always do that too, man. I just combined hash bar, which is like the heaviest indica I've ever had, and then I put like 3/4 mimosa, which is like a really gnarly sativa.
Oh, I'm super into the mimosa. My grower here in NorCal was rocking the mimosa for a long time, and he just switched over to ice cream cake and white runts, and he's phasing out pomelo and mimosa, even though they're like good weeds, but like he's just not. Ice cream cake is like everybody's thing lately. Yeah. I don't know what it is, and I like it. It's good. That's the other one I have here, but I don't know.
It's interesting that dealers have to stay up on like trends and be like, oh, fuck, I got to get a new stock of like.
Yeah, I got to blow this one out so that I can get the new shit so that I can like not be missing a bunch of sales or something. Yeah, I guess so, huh?
You don't want to be like the not cool weed dealer.
Yeah, but also, it's also like, you know, environment too. Like certain environments are definitely like, you know, LA is like a weedtopia, you know? So like you just like, you can't, from one little 4-block radius to another 4-block radius, what's hot over here is not necessarily hot over there. But it could, you know, they could catch fire and you could go around. But yeah, it's a strange thing there. But up here, it's Butte County. It's a little bit of, they don't have like dispensaries really. There's a couple of small private things, but they've kind of made it to where you have to go out to another shop, like in another neighboring county to like.
Are you close to like the, what is it? Is it the Emerald Triangle, or is that where heroin is? No, that's the Golden. That's the Golden Triangle, I think. I think that's it. That's it. That's
Dan.
That's from fucking. That's from Tropical Thunder. I'm sorry. That's comedy for everyone. Everyone listening.
Yeah, yeah. Emerald Triangle is up north and west, so it's like Arcata, Eureka, Humboldt County, right?
Right.
So that's from me. They're probably. Probably 4 hours ish, you know, drive, but I'm central north, valley and a little east in Chico. It's drier, it's hotter here. We got lots of trees.
I apologize because now I'll have to write like a must be 18 or older to listen to this episode.
Oh,
shit. Yeah.
Shit. No, I just put the explicit E on it and
we're good, you know, dude.
Call it a day. But dude, yeah, it's been great. Like last couple weeks we've been having these conversations and talking about a build for you for Kiesel. And I just find it so funny because in a lot of ways, like I have a handful of friends that are kind of like, and you know, pardon the association, but it's like when Joe Rogan has fucking Duncan Trussell on.
Different.
Like it's on. And like when Sugarman's on my podcast and we're hanging out, like I don't know, we don't there's like not a, it's just rolling and it's good. And I'm so stoked by like the naturalness of the exchange and the interest in what each other has to bring to the table.
So far I've talked about TV and heroin. It's been good.
Right. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah, it's been great. but like we were what was the last, I don't even, not to even try to like,
oh man, we got so fucking, we got so deep that we were like, shit, that should have been a podcast.
Yeah, we fucked up. We fucked up. We did, nobody pressed record on this shit. What the fuck were we doing?
Oh man, that was honestly, I can't even recall because every time we talk I feel like it's just like picks up where we left off on whatever that conversation was. Regardless of me being super aware of the topic, it's kind of just continuing where we were.
Well, let's do a little bit of formality stuff. Like to catch us up to where you're at with Ice Nine Kills. Was last we talked on the pod, man. Like you were still fresh into the fold, it seems like.
Right. No, I remember I was about to ask, had I joined yet? But I remember taking a photo with the Ice Nine pick.
Yeah. No, it was last year. It was like deep, like almost a year ago. I have to look at the date, but it was like over a year ago, I think. But
that is nuts, dude. It's been fucking insane. I feel like the timing of that must have been like my first tour or second tour done. So at that point, I wasn't really aware of my role in the band. I wasn't necessarily sure of like what my responsibilities were going to be and how much of it was like, yo, we just kind of want you to be touring guy, or like maybe I'll be session guy, which is, you know, also when I'm in studio, I get the ability to like have record pressed when I'm playing guitar, but I'm like, I'm the puppet and someone else is a puppeteer or the puppet master. So that's, you know, I was on board for either of those things. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember the timeline of things. That was either right before we recorded Your Numbers Up or right after. But basically, I was unsure of whether or not I was actually going to be offered the spot, and certainly not feeling like I was going to get the opportunity to write. And immediately, I'm going to go ahead and just say it was really close to right after that podcast. I was given the opportunity to write a song, Your Numbers Up, and do a Thriller Michael Jackson cover, in which that was the first opportunity where Spencer was like, dude, just fucking whip out your dick and helicopter that thing. Like, we need a huge, we need a huge solo in this, and just like pull on that Eddie Van Halen bad thing and just like fucking go nuts. And I did. And there was a whole lot of like, can you like make this part a little more, you know, manageable for someone wants to like, there was a whole lot of like reeling back, but that was the first time that I was given that opportunity. And just a fucking side note, because it was so cool, we tracked that. I don't remember the name of the studio. It wasn't NRG Studios, but it's something as legendary. But it was where like Smashing Pumpkins recorded Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. It's where, ironically, Mill and Colin also recorded, and that's just confusing to say. Melancholy and Mill and Colin. Fucking, I think Aerosmith recorded there, like Smash Mouth. It was like, it was like a ridiculous fucking place.
Smash Mouth did it, dude. Just like, you're done, dude. You've achieved apex.
Can I say something that is unbelievably weird to say as a fucking almost 30-year-old person?
Of course you can.
My roommate and bass player, Joe, one of the most musical dudes like I've ever fucking met. I forget what it was. I think we were listening to music on the roof and Smash Mouth came on, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? And he was like, you don't know that Smash Mouth is actually sick? And I was like, what? Hey, now you're an all-star? Like, you're telling me they're sick? And he was like, yeah, dude, they became a meme from like two songs. Like, and then he showed me some of their tracks and it was like proggy fucking punk ska. I was like, wait, what?
Band proggy actually punk ska?
I was like, wait, the band is like musical and does shit that's like kind of interesting?
I imagine them not to be as one-dimensional as those couple of tunes, but I honestly haven't given them a chance.
And I haven't either, dude.
I mean, but you said you witnessed some of that depth of character.
I mean, I would never be like, yo, hey Siri, play Smash Mouth. Like, that's not going to fucking happen. But like, I for sure, like, you know, I was rubbernecking a bit and like, you know,
yeah.
Like, what the fuck was that? Was that like a modulation? Did they just do 7/8? Like, what the hell? It was a little bit of like a shock to me to imagine thick neck goatee man doing anything worth a shit. Sorry, that's the vocalist. I don't know his name. I just know what he looks like.
No, I can see him in my head, my mind's eye now as you say that.
Yeah. God.
So so you guys are into an album now, right?
Right. Smash Mouth. Let's revert back to this.
LA.
Oh, right. Because we're at the studio. Yes.
Yes.
So that was like my first opportunity to do recording with them. And I was like, all right, this is fucking nuts. And previously, like before we got back to do that recording, Spencer had kind of come to me and was like, look, dude, we're doing a lot of like radio performances coming up because there's like radio success behind the band now, which makes no fucking sense. And what's being tasked of us is to like rearrange a bunch of our songs for acoustics so that we could go in at 8 a.m. to play acoustic songs for whether it be, and this is not even a joke, whether it be like, you know, 50 people who won some contest to show up, or like three old dudes in suits making bagels in the office just to go to the thing. Like, we're actually there as just like entertainment, and it's really fucking slutty. I feel like a prostitute.
It's legit.
Like, oh yeah, no, you go to the radio stations to like, to play nice with them so that they want to play you whenever, like, they, you want to be on their mind.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, yo, like, Trevor doesn't give a fuck about us. He's eating a bagel. Like, come on.
That's an interesting side of things that I hadn't even thought about as much, you know, especially anybody that's seeking radio exposure or, you know, a collaboration with the system that's in place, you know, like, you're definitely, there's a lot of kind of going in and seeing can we impress them? Do we even want to impress? I think we want to impress them because like we want their exposure, but then there's this thing like you kind of say, oh, I feel slutty. You know, if you, you know, there's a part of it that's got to, you know, back of your mind, you're like, this is just a game, and it's kind of weird to be playing this.
It's when the politics of the industry reveal itself. That's where I'm like, I literally am like goosebumping right now. I cringe, and I'm like, can't this just be about the music? Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. And but it can't.
It can't because it's about the people you know. It's about your track record. It's about the story that happened or is being told that people are believing. There's so many fucking components of it, but effectively, dude, like to get back on track, which is going to be really hard for us, so let's see what happens with this whole fucking
it's circular.
I don't give a shit. So we're like, he's like, yeah, we need to do a bunch of these fucking arrangements of making these metal songs acoustics. So we start plugging away at that, and I think that was like my proving ground to be like, all right, he could take exactly what it is Ice Nine Kills consciousness, and he could stick inside of that and make it different. So I think that was like the, all right, let's give this guy a shot. And then I got your numbers up, which me and Spencer kind of wrote together. And then Joe kind of came in and did a little bit of arrangement orchestral stuff after the fact. And that at this point is one of Ice Nine Kills' most popular songs, which is like,
sick
for me, just like a holy fuck, like what a proof of concept for anyone to have the opportunity to do. And then, you know, fast forward to the pandemic situation, we were actually in Europe on tour with Papa Roach every day in the bus. We had a studio set up in our bus, and we had a recording situation where we had to totally just caught myself from saying the name of the song we're doing. Thank God. We're doing a very, very particular song for the new record, and the premise of it was to release it as a single for the Five Finger Death Punch tour that we were gonna have. I don't even remember the dates anymore. But today we just canceled the reschedule tour.
You guys were gonna be on tour with Five Finger, and so that means that you and Andy James would be sharing the stage.
Yep. And Andy cool. Fucking. He texted me, was like, yo, dude, I'm not supposed to say this, but you don't know that I'm in Five Finger, and you don't know that tour was canceled, but it fucking sucks.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Dude. See, he's one of the other guys that, like yourself, that, like, I don't know. We just got a thing.
He's so fucking love that guy, dude.
Favorite people. It just so happens. It's like, it just so happens that you guys are, like, great, great people, and ridiculous guitar players, the both of you. So it's an honor. I love it when it comes together for me, because like there are plenty of great technicians and people, and I end up labeling them more technicians when I don't like their attitude. That's might actually be really good. This is me trying to be objective about my stony objective self, but very smart. Biased self. Yeah, right, smart. So I'm very biased towards people that are nice to me, that understand me, that confirm me. I'm really like, you know, and the people that don't confirm me, they're kind of a technician, you know, kind of like, even though they actually might be one of the greatest expressive souls on the planet when it comes to this instrument. But
if they don't jive with you, then
Nah, dude, it's like, fuck off, man. Like, yeah. No, there's and that's a thing that I'm currently like wrestling with, like in social media and looking at my life and looking at like the response of like when I post something that I think is like important, or, you know, there's just inherently some fucked up things about just posting shit, your opinions to the world all the time anyway. Okay. So like, I'm already feeling trapped in that weird thing.
Oh yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, it's like we started to discuss the other day. So you know, when one begins the process of waking up, you start to see like underneath the fundamental, you start to see, oh, there's a substrate to all the illusionary things that are happening, but there's got to be something that this operates on, the operating system, the underlying thing. And you see how not much of anything that you're actually going through in life is really real. It's just this kind of energetic exchange, and it's a playful thing. You know, things are coming and going and coming and going. And then once you kind of realize, you kind of see through the veil of Maya, so to speak, like you're like, oh, it's all a game. Shit, I still have to play it though.
Yeah, dude.
You know, and so,
oh,
like,
God.
And I've said yes. I mean, I could check out, I could drop off of social media, I could be like, no more podcasts, no more Kiesel for me, I'm out in the woods, MFers. But like, is the escape part of that? Like, I mean, you know, I don't know, is part of that escape, or do I do better by continuing in the medium that I've created, or that I'm fostering? And, you know, so like, I think in a lot of ways, you know, staying in the trenches, so to speak, and at least offering something, and then being humble enough to admit when you're wrong, I think that might be the, or, you know, even though I don't even know if I could, I mean, I say I want to, I mean, I do admit when I'm wrong, when I'm obviously wrong, but there's so many things are opinion based that it's like, yeah, hard. It's really that's where it gets, yeah, well, you're wrong. And we're like, my opinion is,
yeah,
both sides, you know, both, yeah, sides. So,
dude, I'm tripping out because this has been the topic of me and my girlfriend's conversation for the past 3 days. It's like the whole, like, I have balance problems. I'm either, die hard, and the last iteration of me that plays with like components that I'm playing with now, it's like die hard vegan to the point where it was unhealthy, meditating for insane amounts of hours to the point where it was arguably unhealthy, reading insane amounts of just like spiritual help books to the point where it was like contradicting, diving into like crystals and like energy work and all this shit to the point where it like was confusing. So like there's all this shit that like I felt like, and in that world, I'm obsessing on like, you know, masonry, the Illuminati, and all these like dark energies versus like these light energies that I'm feeling, and simultaneously being like, all right, well, if I acknowledge that this is the way the world is, I can't exist on the plane of the rat race because like I acknowledge this over here. And that acknowledgement makes me want to, like you said, run into the fucking woods. I legitimately looked at, I believe it was called, fuck, I can't remember it. Something Bay, like Gallupos Bay or something. It was in Paraguay. It was it's a commune that was designed to like get off the grid, and it was like people doing exactly that. And I was looking into the cost of it. I was looking into plans and all this shit, right? And I remember it specifically. I was in Venice Beach, and worst place if you ever want to talk about spirituality, like no one there is truly spiritual. And me and my girlfriend go to like this fucking tea house or something, and this guy starts like feeling Sarah's energy and wants to do like a healing on her. And I'm sitting there, and for the first time ever, I'm seeing it for what it is. The guy just wanted money. He's absolutely faking his bullshit. He's sexualizing everything. And I was absolutely fucking disgusted. And that point on, I was like, crystals are bullshit. I'm done meditating. Fuck veganism. Where's a burger? Like, I swear to God, it was like a flip or a switch that was flipped, right? And I'm now just trying to find a balance with that. And I was just talking about this like last night. It's insane. Just the whole like me getting into veganism again, having moved, like I accidentally opened a box when I moved back to this house. That was all of my crystals. So now all of my crystals are out again. Like,
yes,
that's kind of like a, why is that happening? Right. All of a sudden,
I love like, crystals. I think that's a win for crystaldom.
Oh dude, I have such ridiculous fucking stories about shit that happened to me when I was playing with crystals that like, I legitimately like black this stuff out to ignore it so that I could exist on the rat race plane. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a problem with balance. I'm either crunchy granola shithead hippie guy, or like, show me the money. Like, show me the paperwork. You know.
Sure. I feel very similar. I think that's part of our our attraction and our mutual understanding is that, like, I definitely feel very similar, and we both have our own physical practices that we've talked about, our yoga and Shin Yi.
Yes.
Yeah. That are a part of how we try to reclaim our sanity and come back to some sense of middle path. Right. Because I think that the extremism in us, in both of us, that we're starting to see, we're starting in kind of what we've been alluding to a little bit, is that we do see them. I can see them now more than ever as a part of the escapism from the calm actuality of this particular moment right here, right now, it's fine. Like, just take another breath.
Everything is perfect right now. It always is.
Yeah. But there's so much going on conditioning wise, especially when we're in relationship to others. So then our things overlay, and then sorting out whose is whose and what is reactionary and what is actually a response.
Oh man.
You know, then you pull away the physical, you know, communication and the body language, and you put us into internet chat rooms, and let's just really, like, we make it really easy to not understand each other at all.
Yeah.
You know,
the amount of times that I've gotten a text from someone who's like a dear friend of mine, and I'm like, the fuck you, dude, what are you talking about? And then he like says something later, I'm like, oh, he didn't mean that at all. Like, that's not what he meant. I just,
right.
I'm just defensive because what is that about? You know? Dude, there's something so weird about just like aligning with like a middle path. And that word that you use, middle path, is making me like, at least I now have a fucking word to label what I'm aiming for. Like, that's a very big part for me. Cause balance is what I've called it my whole life. Never been able to find it. Mm. Call it something else, idiot.
Dude, you know, well, what are the Buddhists? A lot of times they say it's like they have a whole like series of, you know, right action, right thought, blah blah blah. And when I first encountered that, I was like, okay, Buddhism, you're okay, Buddhism, you got me. Like, what is the right way? Since you're so smart, Mr. Buddha, sir. and I was like, and the more I've read about that, the more it's like, trying to understand it in the way that I understand, like, teaching for yoga now, right? Like, it's, and which maybe this is esoteric for some, but you could say it for teaching guitar lessons too, teaching with what is present, right? Like, so if you, it's the difference between applying a ready-made, like, good guy filter to life versus actually staying awake and seeing who's in front of you, listening to what the energy that they're trying to communicate to you, and then appropriately responding, right? So if we're always, you know, like a lot of like extreme left and extreme right, let's say ideologies and identity politics, they have like, they put together like every year, every season, they put together a new set of bullet points and just apply it, like they try to put the overlay over their life, their existence, kind of update it into this thing. And it's not a one size fits all. It's just not, right? So the right action is like what's right for that particular moment. So there are moments where murder could be justified as right action.
Sure.
You know, I know that's extreme. I mean, that's tough.
Dude,
but
in Judaism, which is really fucking interesting, murder is weirdly forgivable under the right circumstance. And I've actually never seen that like listed in a fucking religion.
Yeah. And let me be clear though. Me saying that is not any type of justification for anybody's stupidity out there right now. And I am like a 99.9% pacifist, you know, like I really like, I just think that there are certain moments that call for swift action. And I think it can be done without heat. What needs to be done. I'm not saying that I would be able to do it without heat. Right. I'm saying that from what I can tell, what I can see as a projection into the future as one that is evolving and seems to be interested in further evolution of his own abilities to like be calm and centered in an emergency or even just somebody asking you, you know, tough questions.
Right.
Like, right. You know, just one. Yeah, no, it's being in uncomfortability, you know, and still remaining calm and centered. Like that's kind of like almost the goal because life is so tumultuous all the time. But I digress. Like what I'm, maybe I'm losing my thought.
No, dude. I mean, you
go like, for it.
you're making me think of a very, very, very interesting, like
ancient Japanese proverb
kind of fucking kind of situation. Right. But like, there's this Buddhist and there's this student of the Buddhist monk, and they're like walking along on a hike and they stop under a shady tree and they're sitting there in silence for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour passes, and all of a sudden the student's getting like irritated and is like, "Master, where is Zen? Where can I find Zen? Like, teach me Zen." And then the master just points up and goes, "Listen to the stream." And then the student starts listening and he doesn't hear it for a few minutes. And all of a sudden he hears like the faint, like water droplets. And then he hears it like roaring and it's loud as day in his ears. Loud as day is not a sentence, but let's roll with it. And then he's like sitting there. He's like, "Okay, that's where Zen is." And then he sits there, his irritability comes up again and he goes, "Master, what happens if I didn't hear the creek? What would you have done?" And then the master waits 15 minutes again and goes, "That's where Zen is." And it's just like, holy fuck. Like, regardless of you hearing it or not, if you can be aware of the feeling you're having, that's where Zen is. It's like the outer observance of whatever the thing is. But I just thought that was like such a unique way of putting, I know that's not exactly what you were talking about.
No, I love it.
That's a sense. That's like the sense I got. And it's like, what do you do with like, whether you're irritated or whether you're at peace?
Yeah, I think that's what we're both describing is our aspects of the middle path.
Yes.
All right. Of the middle way in like in applying middle path ideology to your life is like the balance point is not always at the same place. Okay. Like the seesaw is like it's constantly shifting back and forth like this, right? And you're working just to like shift it gently and favor it towards the right place so that you can keep walking the center line, so to speak. Right. And right.
Like bumpers on a bowling lane.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to, yeah. You know, just, I think, and that's in what it requires though, is to remain awake. Like, and this is the thing. And it's what I teach in yoga all the time. Like in the foundational classes is that it's just real. A lot of it has to do with just like waking the body up, waking the mind up, directing, taking all that focus, all that, the mental energy that gets robbed from you by all the social media and all the 10,000 things of your day, right? And redirecting it back into the room, into this now, into this moment, into this body with this heartbeat, with this breath, standing, putting your feet on the floor and feeling the feet as they press down into the floor and out into the edges. And just noticing this quality and seeing how the effect, and we become little scientists, like we do these little experiments in the body. Okay, can you wake your feet up?
Right.
Can you feel into your feet? Do you know where your feet are at when you're not looking at them? I know it sounds simple, but the average person that doesn't think about this or doesn't have a physical practice oftentimes has bad proprioception. And that's the knowledge of where the body is without having to have visual contact of it, right? So
is that like a spatial awareness thing with your own body, kind of?
Okay. Exactly. It's like when you get to know your car really well, right? And then you know how to parallel park that MFR real easy because you know about how far behind your head was where the bumper is, you know. And so when you kind of know about how wide it is, and then some people, you know, are that claim to be bad drivers. Obviously, they don't practice or have bad proprioception, bad awareness of their own body at times too. Often it kind of can be a parallel, you know,
and very trippy
because you're driving this meat suit, you know, around, you know, and like you should know where the foot is or have I don't say you should. It's helpful. It's helpful to have an awareness of where the body is in space. It means it most often equals less injury, right?
Yeah.
In basic life, knowing how the body functions and having a mental imprint, so to speak, an energy, imprint in your mind about how each joint feels, what each muscle has to offer. If the left side is a little bit more suspect than the right side, in the hip, the leg, the ankle, the shoulder, the things, am I compensating
right
for something,
you know,
and these gentle, subtle awarenesses that come over time of long practice, you get bursts of it, in the beginning of practice. But as you get over long time, the body becomes more and more awake, and the body is, the body and the mind are inseparable. All right. Like as you awaken this with this, it's a simultaneous happening. You're bringing that awareness in and you're focusing it somewhere and you're taking note, you're taking mental energetic imprint notes.
Right. Right.
And so then just in that reoccurrence, that consistency of coming back to some sort of practice around that, we remain more awake, remain awake longer, let's say, I guess, in longer periods. But in that process, you become really, really aware how much you shut down, how often the body is still sleeping in certain areas, or how you're not aware of certain things. Like the gut area is a really tough one for a lot of people, including myself, because it holds a lot of emotion and the digestive qualities of a body, right? Like, so like that, this is how we transform the world, physically. So
would it be fair to say that high achieving athletes or artists have a high level of IQ for that?
Yeah. So on some level, and I think some people are really, it's interesting because I have certain students, I have a wide array newcomers all the time. And there's always one or two. You're like, whoa, that was your first time you did that? Like I played sports or some people are naturally more physical and just have like an intuition towards that. And I think that it's why some people come into this world just more awake, period.
Yeah.
Some people don't need, any drugs or any like weed or anything to just like be super awake and just have like a thing. Right. And some of us come with a lot more baggage and to like deal with,
And it's, in you saying that, like, I have this very specific guy in my mind. Cause my mind just was like, some people come into this world very awake physically and asleep mentally, and other people are the reverse. And some people have both. And I'm thinking about this one guy, who was like a 65-year-old dude, studied Xing Yi with me at my uncle's house. And I was there for like 7+ years. And this guy, Steve, had been learning Xing Yi from my uncle for like 20+ years. Right. And within like the first month of me doing Xing Yi, I like surpassed him in weird ways. Right. And then it's just like, I started to just like see this disconnect in his entire fucking body. Like he doesn't know where his hands are. He doesn't know where his feet are. He doesn't know what's going on with his breathing, his belly, all this shit. Right. And then there's this insane fact that he is one of the creators of the idea of EQ, emotional intelligence.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So he's one of the first people to write about that concept and about taming your anger and about the psychology of the brain and how raising kids does certain. And it's just like, how could you be that awake mentally? And then physically, you are just like crumbling in a ball. It's just so interesting to me.
Dude, that's the beauty of this predicament.
It. Yeah.
This predicament, it's Duncan. I think Duncan Trussell, he says, it's embarrassing. This being human thing. It's absolutely embarrassing because, you on all these different levels, to speak to what you're saying, it's like, man, I'm really good at these things, but like I fucking suck at all this shit. But that is the weird paradox and predicament. You can be a professional. You can have all the badges of honor and degrees in one area of life, naturally or through accreditation, any of these things. and then and be a, just a slob in every other part of your life, you know?
It's
and
so like, weird.
And there's every combination of that. Like there's every version of that. And I think that there's a strange, like kind of like beauty in the vast array of human,
truly
human manifestation, human expression. Like this earth has been peopling and humaning for quite a while. And it just keeps producing interesting flavors, you know? And it's like every totally. Mutation, you know, and now the modern mutations look, you know, they take into account a really heavy dose of the mental, you know, foresight, because we have so much documentation, so much like
right.
video, and so much people write, and it's more prolific in a way these days.
It's interesting. I'm also thinking now about like the concept of, all right, so this particular person's got, he's lacking physically, but just like Einsteining on a whole other level. And that's a mental thing. And then he's using his mental to put himself in a room where he sucks physically and puts himself there mentally for 20 years to excel physically. Even though he's not. And then I'm sitting there going like, what would the physical ace be doing? What would his compensation be? If he's like, yeah, I should be going to school, but instead I'm going to slam these steroids in my ass. Like what is the physical, physical form of that? I'm curious.
It's interesting because I had a teacher to remind me a few times that it's not the student in the room that's in the most complex postures or arrangements or flows that is necessarily the most advanced.
Very true.
Okay, it's not necessarily that person that's doing those things. She was very clear. She's like, it's the one with the most beautiful thoughts that is the most advanced. Like if their practice is yielding beautiful thoughts, and which then yields them to be producing and manifesting beautiful things in life, yes. and beauty in life, then the practice is working. It's doing the thing it's supposed to do because it's easing suffering and it's producing beauty. Now, the physicality of it, while it's all interlinked and while they're all, you can draw all these lines, you know, again, it ends up being like in yoga or martial arts and stuff. I look, and martial arts is obviously a different thing because you are like thrashing each other.
No,
and that's so different. It's slightly different.
There's different aspects. Xing Yi is an internal martial art. So it's focused on the internal first, but it also is deadly if you wanted it to be.
Right.
But like that's not my focus at all. But I hear you totally.
Yeah. Just a flavor for that thing, because like, And I think about that because Alan Watts always references that the fool who persists in his folly eventually becomes wise. And
I love that.
Yeah, like, and he kind of he's saying like, you know, both in the microcosm, like the fool that just like, you know, is just rolling down the road and just like open to the suggestion that he's a fool, you know, like then. Is just like happy about can eventually kind of happen upon through yeah. that this lifetime or many lifetimes yeah. in enlightenment, because they're owning the like the state that they're in.
Is there like an innocence that comes packaged with the word fool? I feel like that's.
I think so. That would seem innocence. Yeah, there's which
allows you to just like purely just be willing to whatever happens to you. You're just kind of there. You're like, yeah, here it is. That's yeah. interesting.
Yeah, because someone who doesn't like know that they're a dummy, that really like thinks of them. This is the thing that we get into, like, and we've all been there, maybe twice this morning, like thinking that we had it figured out. And we're like, yo, like I'm not dummy. Like I can add 2 + 2. It's 5, right? All day long, right? Oh shit. You know, like, and it's in our humility that we are able to, really, really shine. It's not that I'm not like anti-ego necessarily either. Like, I think that, again, once you realize that you're in a game, it's like, it's up to you. I mean, play it, man. Like, do the best you can.
So real, dude.
Ready Player One. Like, get going. Like, what else? I mean, you could opt out. You can press the eject button, you know, in a thousand different ways, you know. But like, dude, I think that'll happen of its own accord without you having to like hurry it along. So like, step into something fun for next 5 minutes before the meat suit expires. Let's do it.
Yeah, dude. It's honestly, man, I fucking am so just amazed at life. This conversation we're having right now is exactly the fucking conversation I've been having for days. Why does this keep happening? Holy shit. I can't even, man. Clearly there's some fucking thing that I'm supposed to be hearing and learning from this. But like, that's like what I feel like I'm going through right now, is like learning how to move forward innocently and freely and without like suffocating things, and like being willing to see where things go, versus like the other form of me, like my Dan from As Blood Runs Black. That person fucking died. Like, that guy just went out in a flaming fucking explosion. And I spent like years not being, you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of just like, all right, like, I'm going through the motions. I don't know what the fuck this is. And I'm now going through this resurgence of opportunity with, to me, what feels like the option to integrate things properly and like move forward aware and awake, like we're saying, and not move forward as a technician, you know? And like I certainly was, and to be there like a fool on the road trying to find his fucking way. And like on that path, I feel like that's where like coolness is fucking happening. That's where like all of a sudden, like, why are we having this talk? And like, when people find out what this is really about, that is even cooler. And there's just so much shit that just, it's just so many layers that just is like, I don't know, man, the willingness to not suffocate things, I think is, and that's a really dark, dramatic word, obviously, but like, that's what I feel like my energy was for so fucking long. And I feel like that's slowly what I'm shaking myself from, and kind of just like allowing things to be and just being there when it happens. And like, because I'm present, I take right action.
Dude, I think on some level, because we talked about the premise of the band that you're in, and like how it stands in contrast ultimately to a lot of personal like ways you hold yourself and the way that you kind of interact with the world. But I just getting a hit that it obviously seems like an opportunity to integrate your shadow side, like to understand.
I want to accept it.
Yeah. And we had the conversation the other day. Part of the thing was like getting in touch with the polarity meditations and consciousness, right? Understanding doing your best to sight and see the backdrops to the good that will be done, like that certain things, certain aspects, whether we like them or not, whether we can foresee them or not, the things that we aren't as stoked on end up being like the perfect like tension or rub in our lives.
Yes.
To create like the coolest, most advanced, enlightened version of the thing, you know, whatever that needs to come through us. So,
dude, and everything shitty is packaged some dope hidden mystery prize that you did not even expect or know that was going to exist. And like, it's weird as fuck, dude. Like, I feel like the universe creates these situations where they just are, and then the human brain comes in and is like, good, bad. And then you move forward accordingly, and you could just be like, that's a human layer added on, and those are words and labels that are really just fucking signposts that point at this whole fucking other thing. So when I say good, bad, like, what, images flash through my head, I like relive like bad and good experiences from like birth till now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whether it's like, you know, when you like die and your life flashes before your eyes.
Yeah.
I almost feel like any word has those types of connotations. And whether you like see that glimpse of like your life flashing before your eyes, that word is packaged with so many fucking unbelievably connotations that you have no idea where they, how they got there, why they're there. And therefore you're using the word carelessly, irresponsibly, you know? and it's almost detrimental in a huge way. So like presence is a huge practice, I think, in that, but also just this taking a step back and not labeling the present moment, I think, is an even deeper, like, just fucking be there, dude.
It's the whole be here now, Ram Dass thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dude, oh, so how fucking badass is Midnight Gospel?
Oh, my God. I mean, we were...
dude.
We were talking... I literally... That's just my, like... That's my background shit. I just put that on Netflix. Yeah. It's probably on right now. I don't know if Sarah turned it off.
Oh, but man.
It's like, I wake up, I put that shit on when I'm in the kitchen cleaning and making breakfast. That's just, like, good juice.
I'm just like, finally. I'm like, there's a... I mean, there's been a bunch of really great things that have happened in the realm of being a human in our age and time and growing up, for, you know, a lot of great art and a lot of great things. And then there's Duncan Trussell and the Midnight Gospel. And I just like, you know, it's like I hold it on this equal footing with like Rick and Morty, basically, where like Rick and Morty is a whole nother level, but there it's an equal thing. And
same lessons,
man. You know, just different messengers, but it's really, really incredible. And I really love the quirky world that he and the animators have created, and the characters and the lessons that they're willing to explore. Like that, I think that episode 5 with, I can't forget but it's when they're in that soul prison. And he ends up interviewing the soul bird for the wayward souls that they keep killing each other.
He's dying.
And so he has to go through that process, you know? I forget the name of the actual guest on that one, but, dude, like all of them, but that one in particular, just because of the dying element, like I love seeing multiple different, like ways of going about seeing like it being just sensation is one of the things, because dying is the most prevalent thing. And I keep having people around me die. And in the news, it's about another person shot dead. And then another person shot dead and another person dying and another person COVID, and it's dead, dying. And it's like, okay, well it's time, man. I mean, it's like, it's always been time, but it's, of course, it's still time to figure out your relationship to death. It really is. It's like, is it the moment that you wake up to the reality that this meat suit will definitely expire, like, and it could be soon, you know, and you could have 40, 50 plus years left. I don't know, but
50 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be 50 seconds. That it is inherently your work as you know, to align yourself to have a good death. That's through the yogic kind of lineage. It's like, it's the obvious thing to do. The right action is to some people do it, you know, kind of almost like socially pressured wise, like, you know, throughout history, like, oh, like a heroic death is a good death, right? Sure. Like, you know, we throughout ages, there's always been like, you know, good deaths and bad deaths, essentially.
Right.
And it's just the way it is. Like, you almost kind of like, oh, they lived a good life and had pretty good death considering,
Hold on, dude. You just used the exact, this is trippy. Good life, death, right? And we're like, well, all right, that life is tight. Death is fucking not tight. Like, who wants that? Right. And then I'm sitting here going like, well, that's fucked, because life and death, like, those are two halves of a fucking circle, right?
Right.
They go together and are the same thing. And then I was thinking like, oh, that's kind of like, we were just saying that with good and bad. And now you're using the word good death, bad death. And I'm like, that's just redundant. Like, we got to stop death. This shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, even your thoughts about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think, I think that's the, they talk about the, you know, like even Christianity, everybody's like, oh, you should have repented in the time, but in the time of your death, be ready to go meet your Lord, you know, so to speak, you know, so make sure that you've repented and da da da. So, but I take that as like, having your eyes on the infinite, you know, God, no God. I'm trying to tell you, I mean, I have my own beliefs, but like, it's none of my business. But I think there's some sort of, you know, there's a center, a central spirit of existence that we can agree on. We're currently at least experiencing some aspect of existence. If we're listening to this, if we're participating in something, even if it is the Matrix, it's fine. Like once you realize it's a game. You then do the best version of the thing that you're here to do. Then, like, even if it's
right,
sadly, if it's to do a bunch of horrible shit, like, get at it, man. Like, we need a backdrop for the good shit. I don't want to encourage your fucking stupidity or, you know, your violence. I don't want to encourage that. But, like, if that's who you are, then get on down the road.
There's the road talk again with exactly what it was. What's the difference between being a fool on the road versus being stupid or stupidity?
Well, I think stupidity is what most of us are.
Yeah.
Because we know better and we still don't.
Is it negligence maybe?
I think stupidity is tied to negligence or and ignorance. Ignoring the something in front of you. You know, and ignorance seems blind, like when we say ignorance, like, oh, they're ignorant, you know. But it was in front, you know, and so there's a blind ignorance, and then there's like an active ignorance, which is more stupidity, I think.
Yeah, as we're foolish is just not knowing.
Yeah, well, I think and I think the fool that Watts talks about, I think, is like the one. I mean, he actually basically calls us all fools. Basically, he says, like, look, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter how badass, you don't get it. and you won't get it until you go through all the things, till you fuck it up. Every possible time that there is possible to fuck it up, you have to fuck it up all those times, multiple lifetimes within this lifetime, and then multiple lifetimes on top of this finite lifetime, so that to kind of finally come clean, because you're a sliver of God that is masquerading around as this tiny little, you know, sliver of the cosmic energy. And that's the greatest gift God ever gave himself, was to forget that he was this all fucking powerful, you know, I'm going to cut that off. I'm going to smoke a bowl of fucking Dan Sugarman and Chris Johnson. And I'm going to be born in this year and that year. And then we're going to have a podcast at some point, and it's going to be here today on this Thursday morning. You know, we're going to smoke weed and ponder the ways that we aren't God. Oh, wait, but are we? Well, are we? Because maybe, you know, we just have amnesia.
I am loving the fact that God would make a choice to shit his pants.
Hey,
he's a fucking comedian. Deal.
But if you're he's the ultimate comedian. Like, so if God, think about that. Like, yeah, God wants the ultimate trip. He wants to experience the capital THE everything and everyone. So here he is fucking it up through each one of us hundreds of times. Pants. Yeah, shitting his pants, fucking doing all the stupidest things just to have the experience of, like, I'm not omnipotent, you know, or whatever that word is. I'm not, like, all seeing, you know, and then that's what enlightenment starts to come around to. It's like, oh, wait, but if, you know, and this is just, like, based on our most standard, you know, kind of cosmological, like, things. None of this could be real or true, like, right? Like, I mean, it could be any number of things, Matrix style, like, you know, like, we don't even...
We look like something else. Are we connected because your fucking Matrix plug and my Matrix plug are like the same fucking serial number or some shit? Like,
yeah, maybe we're clones in the fucking, you know, in the resistance, dude.
Hey, I'm with it, man. I'm a fool on a path with shit in my pants,
dude. I got my die is poopy. Yeah,
my die is poopy.
Man, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing as fuck, this being human. And I think I love the path of sorting it out with people such as yourself and the world in general. But, like, somebody that's quick on their feet and mentally present at, like yourself, it's fun to share the vast, you know, like, paradox and, like, and weird, like, you know, this is true, but like, but also what? That true, yeah. And that's all fucked up. So like, then there's in the middle, Divine Comedy, you know, I don't know. Like all I can do is laugh and continue to meditate and be a decent, whatever it is I'm supposed to be, you know? And
dude, how the fuck did we spontaneously come up with a Middle Path podcast?
I know we did. Really. It really, it is. It's the thing, right? Like it's, you gotta, you have to recognize that, dude, most of the conspiracy theories, yes, they are true,
I know.
But you also have to function as a regular adult.
That's,
okay?
Dude, that's, so
shut
that's,
your fucking mouth.
That's,
and
that's my fucking, that's my, I just want to fucking live. I want to live in a tent in the fucking Redwoods and never hear another human again, dude. Or, oof, or yeah. I'm going to own a business where I connect everyone together. And it's just like, make up your fucking mind, man.
Well, maybe there's a middle path to that, Dan.
Oh God. What I mean, the fuck is
maybe
that?
You can live on the edge of the Redwoods and have good Wi-Fi. You know,
I'll just get Netflix. I'll be good,
dude. We're literally in the place right now. Like you see all these big podcasters and other people talking about how they're not gonna, like, they're not living. They're like, they're leaving LA and New York and a lot of people,
dude,
and stuff.
No,
and so they're going elsewhere, and they're like, oh, we're gonna prove to everybody that like you don't have to be in LA, you don't have to be in New York.
I
you don't
love that.
And I think that's obviously, you know, been a reoccurring theme for a long time for a lot of us, and that have, you know, for the last 10 years, at least, that everybody's been trying to find the spot, whether or not you end up in LA or not, you know, like it's still a viable place to be for the business, but you'll find a balance. I think you'll find, maybe it's, just out, and maybe it's in Topanga Canyon, you know?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
You get your next million, and like you're just like, yo, dude, baby, we're going to go sort out that 3-bedroom, you know, on the edge of the
dude,
canyon.
So I heard this thing like a long time ago at a point where I was like, had I not heard this, I would have just been a piece of shit. But it was effectively like being a mature and a smart, like, young adult is knowing that you need to sleep on a park bench for a long, long, long time before you can put your ass down on like a lazy boy for a nap. So yeah. it's really the premise of like being willing to eat shit until you get caviar. And like that to me, like I chose to live in this house because it's like slightly uncomfortable. I'm not in like the best fucking area, but I have everything I need here to do what I need, but it's not going to make me become content and lazy. Right. So like I built myself park benches constantly so that I have to move. Right. What's your lazy boy?
What's my lazy boy?
Yeah.
What would be my lazy boy? Or
yeah. What's your lazy? Like what? Like I imagine this is not your lazy boy. I imagine you're still park benching it.
Well, it's funny but as you say.
You have a sick situation though.
Yeah. As you say that, I'm like, fuck. Am I on lazy boy right now? Because like, I mean, most of my life has been, and it's funny. My friend Moon, she like. She visited me at my place in Santa Rosa and she's like, it's cool. It's not very cozy though. You know, like yeah. I imagine it to be more, why isn't it more cozy? And I was like, you need to get better towels, like, you know, some more pillows. And I'm like, you're not wrong about that. Why is, you know, and like, and I thought about it because, and my only valid response was like, I'm not trying to
you're park benching
too cozy. Yeah, park benching, it's like it's a little bit utilitarian.
Yeah,
I just get it done because I got I want to be out at the coast, I want to be in the Redwoods, I want to, you know, I'm going to be out at work, I don't want to be stuck inside, which, you know, inherently, like interestingly enough, that's yeah. kind of like where life has gone to be. And then I went to LA and, you know, ended up working from home and staying a lot more inside. COVID happened. Stay, you know, now we've been inside. Now up here in my hometown area, Chico, you know, I'm like $150 more a month here for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, place for my bikes.
You got room for Kimsey and shit? Is there like a yard?
Yeah, it's a fenced backyard. I guess there's a yoga deck in the back, dude. Like a covered yoga deck in the back. And I got landscaping here. Like I don't even have to do the lawn if I don't want to, but I still like mess around with it. But I have a garage that I can like do the beeper thing in my little Subaru, and I pull up, and it, the thing comes up, and I pull in, and I press the button, and it goes down behind me. Dude, I don't know what to tell you.
Dude, is this you? Cup holder kicking the feet back?
I don't have an actual Lazy Boy, but this is my Lazy Boy in a way, because I definitely have – I spent a lot of years hustling really hard, dude. Man. I mean, the early Ampeg years and into EMG and Dunlop being kind of an apex for being like, you know, feeling like I was running the team there, you know, and it's like, oh shit. Well, you know, I was responsible for a lot there. And it was a really great time. All the jobs were great and they all serve purposes, but you know, working for Kiesel it's very direct, and I'm like, you know, kind of half time with them, but full time like mentality, but like you know, half time responsibilities, because I'm kind of expensive, so I mean, I won't lie, but
dude, you're a fancy bitch.
Yeah, but that's what I think. That's what we're saying is like, yeah, I have worked really hard, and now I'm here, and I'm still working really hard, but I get to do it from a place that is it's hard for me to accept a little bit at times too, because I'm like, oh, I got all this space. It's me and the dog. I got a guest bedroom. My homies can stop by and stay the night, dude. Like,
so fucking cool.
Like, which, like we talked about, like, dude, you're coming up, man.
I'm on board.
Mountain bikes.
This conversation,
you know,
this is making me want to pivot, because this is a conversation that I've had with friends, and it's always such a fucking deep one. How do you value yourself?
Mm.
How do you? That's a tough egg, dude.
And
expressing that versus just like living it until it's acknowledged versus just put your head down until hopefully, you know, there's so many ways to go about it. And I feel like the music industry particularly is like, yo, you provide this special thing that I need. What does it cost? And everyone in this world has got the opportunity to name their fucking price. Right. And how do you do that in a way that it's conducive and aligned to like your greater good? And I don't know, man, it's such a weird combo to have. Sorry for putting you there.
No, it's okay. Professionally, I will say, you know, I just continued to keep tabs on myself as I grew, and, you know, things didn't work. I definitely tried to make note that, you know, don't do that. I know that sounds simple, but it's like, again, this is a part of reading the room. Like, and I think when somebody practices stillness of any kind in their life, that eventually you come around to being able to read a room, and then you know, and that doesn't mean that it you don't sweat in sweaty situations. It doesn't mean, but like, you have a little hair's chance of like turning the tide towards your favor if you're taking slower breaths and, you know, paying attention, right? And I noticed when I just put my head down and kicked a lot of ass, like in the Ampeg days. I was like, dude, I got an opportunity of a lifetime. I will do as much of this as I can possibly do.
Right.
So I'll basically say yes to almost everything and go and try to go do it. And that just, you know, and I loved it. And it seemed, I seemed to try to meet the thing and where it was at and what it needed. And so, you know, it's hard to say like if it was my efforts that actually did it, or if it was just me out doing the thing, my chemistry with the world that allowed it to be so successful or whatever. But other people saw and said, hey, you look like you're valuable to our thing, you know? So EMG was like, hey, like, let's talk about you doing your thing here. And each time was an opportunity to say, cool. Well, like, I need to recap and kind of do my list again, my inventory, and say, look, I'm at least, and every time somebody would come to me that way, I would say, I'm at least, you know, $20,000 more
last time
valuable than the previous paycheck.
Yeah.
And they would always be like, okay,
dude.
And so you do that three or four times.
Oh my God. Yes.
And
one of the most ridiculous things that I heard and then tried is if someone says okay to your price, then you didn't ask for enough.
Right. Right. Correct. Yeah. And I really learned that, you know, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, put up private stuff necessarily, but like, I really learned that in the process of, you know, moving through those couple companies, you know, there was a tinge a couple times of feeling like, am I being too self-important here? Am I actually worth what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, dealing with a bit of imposter syndrome, like, am I actually worth the thing that I'm asking for? And, you know, but then I would come home ragged from being, you know, leaving the house at 7 a.m. and not getting home till 3 a.m. the next day.
You were already a product that was put on the market, and the market decided, yeah, we like this, Chris. So like the fact that the money was coming in and you were earning that, so to speak, and you felt like an imposter, which is something everyone fucking deals with. Mm. I think no one else would agree with you because the market had already accepted that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it's like once it's agreed upon and then believed, like it's just, that's what you, I don't know. It's like a weird, cause I struggle with that shit constantly, man. And like, even in As Blood Runs Black, it was the opposite. I was like, yo, this is fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. I am risking my fucking life and I can't pay rent. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. So it goes on both ends. And like, the reason why this is something that I want to talk about, and it's cause I've struggled with it on both ends of being like way too hard cause I got fucked. And then I got too lenient cause everyone was being nice. And then it's just like, it's a fucking middle path, man.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing, dude. But like I'm like anti-religious. And in fact, I'm Jewish. So the fact that I'm going to say some Jesus shit is really funny. But there's like there's this shit in the Bible that basically, I'll make it sound all cool so it doesn't sound like some Bible talk.
You can talk all you want, baby.
It's basically like sit at the shittiest spot at the dinner table so that you're invited to sit next to the host.
Hmm.
And it's the concept of like by humbling yourself so much, you almost like embarrass the host to, it's like the way I see it. And then they're like, no, come here and eat, share the steak with me.
Right. Those who would humble themselves will be exalted. Right.
Yes. That was the exact sentence that I didn't want to say.
Oh, okay.
just because it's Bible talk and that shit hurts my dick.
No, but no, like me too. But, I'm also like, I was raised in that. My mom's still very Christian. We have pointed conversations. We just had pointed conversations about the validity of the Bible this last week. I mean,
we talked about this.
She's, she's the cutest thing of all time, man. I love my mom. She's the best thing. And I, you know, obviously I wouldn't be here without her. I love that she accepts her yoga, primarily yoga, Buddhist, Hindu, mixed universalist son that still embraces Christianity on some level into her life and will actually have the conversations with me, you know?
I love that, dude.
It's really good.
That's mom right there.
But her mom, my grandma, was strangely similar in these little ways of acceptance of certain things. And so I forget where I was going with that, but what was the
Jesus.
It was about Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's a whole nother path to go down. Like, but I wanted to back up for a second though and just say you know, that personally, when it comes to personally valuing myself, like on my
not financial,
take the professional, I mean they're connected, right? But take that professional like resume, like motherfucker, I've been doing this shit, like type of stuff out of the mix, and it's a combination of like when I get objective about myself. And I'm always trying. Okay. I'm trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
try to relax.
What a fucking joke. What a joke. Trying to be objective about myself. I mean, it's cute.
That's a pretty subjective thing to say.
It's a really cute gesture. And it's like virtue signaling at best, you know, like I don't know. I think when I'm making good decisions for myself and I it's like you were asking me like, what is stupidity? It's like, I'm like, it's like knowing what to do and then just like not doing it.
Right.
Being a fucking dumb fuck. Right. And, when I'm not being a dumb fuck, I feel like I'm valuing myself highly and well, right? Like when I'm being softer with myself, I'm making mostly good decisions, allowing space for my creativity, allowing space for my physical wellness on a regular, consistent basis.
Right.
And then, you know, and for me, I have a little bit of a food thing. Like I have, I've always kind of done a little bit of emotional eating, you know? So, and it's just like, you know, if I get all the things kind of going, then I'm doing better. And I have to stop myself every once in a while. I'm like, oh man, like you having cookies like the third night in a row? Do you need cookies like right now? Or are you just stoned? Like, it's cool. You don't need to cook. Maybe you should drink some water, you know? And like, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't need the cookies. Like, and I feel good. Like I feel like I'm valuing myself. I mean, there's no way, you know, it's like, it's no way that you're to not like value yourself ultimately, I think, you know, like, right. Because even in the foolish way.
Yeah.
Or, but like, this is the, in a conscious way, when I feel like I'm kind of in line with my own kind of basic ideals, the things that I kind of set goals for myself. And if I'm knocking those out, you know, and I allow myself to be a bit softer on the edges around it, because man, any day, right? Like maybe why would I be extra harsh on myself today about the thing? Today might be the day, man. And, yeah. And if today is the day that I get hit by a random object or, you know, car crash or like just fucking heart attack, I don't know. I'll be 44 in a couple months. Like, I don't fucking know. Anything's possible. Yeah. And this is 2020, bro. This could be it. Like, you know, like I have so many different people seemingly pass away. So anyway, man. I really just do my best to like show up each day and include silence and allow that to be a part of the backdrop to my action, you know, to end the day, my moving forward out of the silence and the stillness into motion and then back into this, like this rest digest mode. And when I'm engaging that a lot, then like, man, I feel good. I feel in line. I feel in union, in yogic union with my life. And it's hard, you know, that's like where the mental aspect kind of finally comes into play. I think you kind of almost finally mentally feel okay about it. It's like the whole time you're in union with your life, you're living it, you know, it is what it is. You can't be out of it, but to get the thoughts to kind of come around and be like, you know, buddy, you're all right.
Yeah.
You're doing okay.
Fuck, man. This is why I love the fuck out of you. I, for a moment, was like, oh, let's talk about professional shit. We'll talk about business. And immediately we're like, nah. And you changed the concept of value to something so much more fucking deep and worth talking about. Mm. And it tickles my balls. And also, we'll never talk about a guitar ever, because I just know.
I don't think it's going to happen, dude. I've got, it hurts so good that like, that this is the third time that we were going to like,
I think it's,
hey man, we'll talk about this guitar, but like, nah, let's talk about other shit.
Yeah. I don't care, dude.
We'll get to the guitar soon enough.
It's fucking, it's awesome, dude.
I think you need to come visit. It's like really like, you know, we'll sort it out.
What's the hour? It's like 9 hours away. 8 hours? 10
yeah.
Hours?
Like with a couple of luxury stops, you're probably looking at 8.5, 9 hours.
Like a little scenic stop and a lunch or something.
Yeah. It's super, super easy right up the 5 though. Once you get closer to Chico, like the GPS generally takes you off into like kind of some back roads to get here. Cause you could kind of like take an L, but it's a little bit longer. And so you see a bunch of orchards and a bunch of irrigate. It's just really nice. It's a nice drive.
That's dope. Yeah. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Dude, my mountain bikes are fucking on point right now, dude. Like I've got two, I've got the 29er and my regular 26. My 26 is like a all carbon aggressive trail like bike. And then the 29er is kind of like a chiller, like it just climbs. It doesn't give a fuck. It just like, but it's not really like super quick or ultra maneuverable, but it'll just go over stuff and you just keep going and it's fine.
Is this a world of shit you're into now? Mountain biking is like a new hobby?
No, it's not new. It's like, it's,
oh shit.
I've always been into mountain biking basically since arrived in my sphere. It's like, oh my God, like stomper tires on a bike. Like I always wanted stomp, even on my like BMX bike. I wanted the biggest, knobbiest, not the ones that were like, I just wanted the ones that like look like a big boot kicking, you know, kicking your face or something. So yeah. The whole time when I lived back here in Chico, I had all these different mountain bikes through the years and BMX bikes. I just love bikes. I have three bikes right now. I've got two mountain bikes and a dope road bike. But yeah,
I need to get a fucking bike, dude. I'm bikeless. It sucks.
And it helps to be somewhere where I roll out the side door of my garage and I can ride anywhere up into the park or around this beautiful tree lined streets all around Chico. Out of Chico, I could ride out in the country all the way over like 30 miles one direction to a buddy's house or whatever. I could make big country loops if I wanted to.
Man, your lazy boy sounds dope.
Come chill, dude. Like maybe you guys want to like, maybe you never know, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I know. Maybe that's where we fucking put it. Fuck. See, like I have these weird like visions of myself in like Oregon or Seattle, or it's like I see like redwoods and coast in my like future. And I
don't know both what that are, means. Both are very worth your time, man. I've lived in Portland. I've lived in Seattle. I've lived on not the North Coast, but I have friends that live on the North Coast north in Arcata, and it's incredible beauty. You just got to find the spot that like you said, at the edge of something that you want to be close to a community. I mean, at least I say this because I want to be close to a community. I like being on that kind of, I'm still kind of considered like in town, but I'm not like downtown here. And in Santa Rosa, I was on the edge of town a little bit. I like being on the edge of a community where there's farmers markets and there's a little bit of music scene happening. And there's like, you know, and Chico's got a bar scene and like a bunch of good food and all that stuff. And it's got a college. So it's like, it's cool. I mean, it's a little weird right now because everything's weird, but it's still like a really beautiful campus. And it's just the quality of life of the community of and like the neighborhoods, just like the beauty of a neighborhood that you get to go like walk out your door and stroll to, you know, is priceless. Just because like, and I really learned that in LA. I mean, like, not that I hated I was at, man, but
it's bad.
You know, it's a crapshoot everywhere.
It's bad, dude. And now, you know what the fucking the grossest part is, dude? I'm over seeing human shit in syringes. Now the thing that pisses me off is seeing used masks all over the floor.
Oh my God, everywhere, right?
That's like, to me, that's like worse than a dirty diaper. It's like, that's the reason that we're trying not to die. What are you fucking doing? Like, I fuck belief about all of that. Like, if you're wearing the mask and you're morally not lining up with like, dispose of the mask properly. What the fuck? To finish what you started, asshole.
yeah. No, I was actually, it's funny you bring that up because even up here, I was like, I'd started a little folder on my phone and I was taking pictures of masks laying around everywhere. And then I stopped. I was like, I can't even.
Yeah,
I was going to make an art piece. You know, it was like, I'm going to make an art piece. This will be social commentary from Chris Johnson and everybody's going to be like, whoa, bro, that's deep. And I'm going to be like, yep. And I was like, no. And I saw myself even thinking that. And I was like, fucking delete, delete. I'm not going to be the one. Somebody's already doing it right now, dude. Yeah. I'm not going to be the one.
Yeah. You know? Someone's going to make like a clothing garments out of it and then wear it for a month straight only.
Yeah.
Something stupid. Yeah. In fact, I might have to go do that. That's a pretty good idea.
I mean, you could probably make some sort of scary mask or something that goes along with Ice Nine. Or
that's too fucking easy. Spencer was over yesterday. We just had a fucking like 10-hour writing session yesterday. It was gnarly. But he stayed over for dinner. And side note, I fed him and his girlfriend vegan and they didn't know. And they were like, what? Oh my God. Like
amazing.
I was stoked on that. He said, He messaged me today. He's like, I'm going vegan if it's like that. I know he's fucking kidding, but that dude, what, that dude eats bloody steak every fucking day. Like,
yeah, yeah. What did you make him?
We did, dude, I go really fucking hard. I got to cook for you. My mom was a professional. She was a professional chef. So I grew up like helping her in the kitchen, and I just like absorbed everything, including 10,000 calories a day, which is why I weighed 350 pounds. But we made homemade corn tortillas. We did homemade guac, homemade pico de gallo salsa. We did roasted pasilla peppers. And then I made taco meat out of Gardein beefless beef, which is just like a soy protein. Sure. And I just add like a organic tomato paste and a bunch of like Cholula and pepper. Oof, and a bunch of just amazing. Like just a bunch of good seasonings. And like I literally gave Spencer a spoonful of that, and he had no fucking idea. He was like, that's so fucking good, dude. And then he had a taco and forgot that I'm vegan and was just like eating it and shit. But like straight off the bat, if you just ate that, it's like it just tastes like really, you know, when taco meat is shitty, when I say shitty good, that's like what it's like. It was shit. It's shitty good.
Shitty, you know, good. Yeah.
You know, like a fucking pizza is supposed to be like,
yeah, it's got a little bit of greasy factor to it. Yeah, kind of like a little bit
of slop. But we did, it was just basically an insane homemade taco, like buffet where you just make your own shit. And then we made, churro poppers, which is like basically donut holes, but the donut is, and we're also gluten free, so it makes it even harder, but they're fucking amazing. So it's basically like churro dough. So it's like sugary cinnamon dough. And they're shaped like balls, and you just pan fry them real quick in like some vegan butter, and then roll them in sugar. And it was like unreal, dude. We dipped them in some milk and chocolate. Yeah. Yeah.
Come stay with me. We'll play in the studio right here. We'll work in the studio for a couple of days and go play outdoors each day a little bit. And then, and we'll cook.
Dude, that's my shit.
We should, we should do an episode or do some sort of live like cooking show or something with you and your life. Are you going to do something like that?
I'm already on it, man. I'm already making a vegan cookbook that's going to be comprised of like all of my shit. And I'm just going to be getting a bunch of recipes from other musicians that are vegans. And then I want to make a cooking show where when I'm on tour, I just go to these dudes' houses and we like film shit. Otherwise, I'm just like posting cooking videos and shit.
Yeah,
that's like a very big part of what I want to align with. Food and health food specifically is like a really, really big part of my life and like the focus of my life. Like after the session, we were cooking for like 3 hours yesterday, and Spencer and Nadia, his girlfriend, were like, do you guys do this every night? And we're like, yeah, it's fucking crazy, but we do.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's a lot, dude.
Yeah, but you when you have a community, when you have at least a community of one other person that is committed to that process, then it makes it, you get into a thing and it kind of, you fall in love with the form, right?
Dude. Oh, and also just because I know you would give a shit and this will make you happy. The only reason I brought up Spencer and yesterday, based on you mentioning the masks, is because when we were at dinner yesterday, he was playing with Opus, my dog. And he was like, dude, we need to do Ice Nine Kills Dog Toys.
Oh, like hands and stuff, or like,
yeah, I was like, oh fuck, dude, we could do a themed one for every single song on the album. And he's like, holy shit, like that's
like body parts,
body. It could be, but like we do, for anyone who does or doesn't know, all of our songs are based on movies, so it could be like anything from any fucking movie. It could be Jason's head, it could be a shark from Jaws, it could be Freddy's hand and glove, and it's like a chewy squeaky toy. Like, there's a million things that we could do, but if it was like a band branding dog toys, that's a market I've never seen entered into.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Oh. I was stoked on the idea, dude.
That's awesome. I actually, you know, I haven't seen that either. I keep wanting to do a small line of dog stuff because of my dog, because of Kimsey. I want to call it Woofaware. Just call it Kimsey Woofa. And just make the dopest like leashes and stuff. Like I have ideas for some of that stuff, but I got too many projects, man. Dude, it's like,
I'm in the same boat. Like me saying I'm writing a cooking book and I'm going to have like a cooking show. It's like, it's in the process, but I'm also writing another book. I'm also starting my own podcast. I'm also like, what the fuck am I doing to myself? Why am I?
Do you have a name for the new podcast that you want to tell us, or is it?
Yeah, it's called Mindframe. I'm working with Sound Talent Podcast Group. If you guys know Dave, do you know Dave Shapiro?
It sounds familiar. Who would I know him from?
Sound Talent is like a huge booking agency. Dave Shapiro books like fucking everyone. Him and Matt Anderson, basically, amidst this pandemic, were like, all right, well, we have like a bunch of employees and we're a company and like we can't book shows. So let's pivot our energy and start a podcast network.
Sweet.
And honestly, I was going to save this talk till after, and I was going to see if you were interested in me connecting you, because all of this shit is musicians. It's like Doc Hoyle's on there. I'm on there.
Oh, I love Doc.
Fucking Joe, my roommate's on there. A bunch of other, Finn McKenty. Do you know Finn?
That sounds familiar too. I don't know that punk, I know him though.
Punk rock MBA. It's like all about like the background of like band shit. And just,
maybe I won't. Maybe I don't.
Pretty cool.
Send me a link, dude. I'm super into exploring that. Moon sent my stuff off to a couple of her friends too. And I was like, oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'll talk to anybody about whatever.
To me, it's not about like getting money or being, it's about being cross promoted with like podcasts.
Yeah. No, that would, I mean, of course.
I'm like, you talk to only sick musicians. Like, holy fuck, what are you? So that was clearly my intention with accidentally saying all the shit.
Cut, edit,
fuck it.
No, it's fine. I mean, unless, it's fine.
No, I don't give a shit. But like, that's something very real and something that I'm moving forward with. And the premise of that, I know I had mentioned Everfret TV to you like last time we spoke.
Yes.
Effectively like 2.5 years ago or so, I used to go on Instagram Live with other musicians. And the premise of that whole show was just like the mindset and mentality about like, when did you feel like you could make something out of a hobby? Like, what was that decision like for you, and what did you risk? And then we would just talk about that for like 30 fucking minutes and the tangents that it goes off of. And then maybe we'd talk about like, what was one time where a failure turned into one of your biggest successes. And then we could talk about how like that, basically it's for anyone listening who wants to enter the realm of going after what they love. It's to give you some actionable items. And the whole premise is to end the show with like, this is what you can try to do if you're interested. Right. Yeah. So that was like a very fucking bullshit iteration of it. And now I'm going super hard. It's called Mindframe. Which ironically ties into the title of one of my songs on my album, Everything That I Do Always Cross Brands. I'm such a shit. But so that's happening. And then I'm turning that into like a Tim Ferriss style book. Do you know Tools of Titans?
No.
Oh, man. Tools of Titans. Do you know Tim Ferriss?
I know Tim Ferriss.
So Tools of Titans is one of his books that he did where he'll get like Arnold Schwarzenegger, fucking Harold and Kumar. I'm just fucking saying random fucking things. Basically a bunch, like a huge spectrum of celebrities and people who are successful, like Warren Buffett and fucking Mark Zuckerberg or whatever. And he asks them the same like 5 questions.
Mm.
And everyone's insight is so completely fucking different. And you're just constantly gathering like pieces.
Love it.
You're gathering tools, right? So I want to make that, I want to make like the musician's mind frame handbook kind of concept is where I'm after with that. So that the podcast is going to spin into a book. While I'm simultaneously making a cookbook and a show, I'm a fucking piece of shit. and then there's a lot of other shit that I've got going on. Like I know you and I were talking about some other big things that are working on behind the scenes. That's a kind of cooler idea that hopefully we could talk about in the future when things line up, when the stars align. But like, I also have this pretty wild online free like guitar lesson community that I've been doing for about 8 months. And I basically just drop like small free lesson content on there. I'm constantly accessible. I'm constantly dropping what I call mind frame prompts. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? And what are 3 ways that you can do something today to get it? And just by simply saying that thing, 200 people will talk about like 3 actionable items they can do today. And then people who weren't thinking of something will think about something. And the conversations that spiral are fucking insane, dude.
That's great.
So that's just like one of the threads of like 80 different threads that I have that are all very specific, like mindset based or physical based or like building network or understanding band mentality. There's all these like weird components of it. So that's this like very large experiment that I'm having that, because I'm so business minded, it's obviously a stealth funnel So like what I'm doing is all those people are like at the free base level of one of my products that I'm going to be launching soon. So like it's all connected, but it's way the fuck too much. And I'm also doing 8 plus hours 3 days a week with Ice Nine on writing sessions. So to answer your question, yeah, we're writing a record right now. And it's like, it's so fucking full fledged, dude, that I can't even breathe.
Man, I think I asked that question 2 hours ago or something. Yes. But I'm glad that you finally would circle around and like give me a solid. Yeah, man, we're working on a record.
I can't. It's something on contracts. You're supposed to beat around the bush when asked about Ice Nine Kills. I have to sign away on that.
Got it.
I'm totally.
So I would. It's all good. I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe we'll see new music at some point. Well, tell me. Let's aim towards wrapping it up. But tell me about what you've been listening to lately, or do you have any, smaller artists or any like lesser known musics that we should be listening to? Any genre, doesn't matter.
I mean, dude, I'm a highly susceptible person to like influence musically. And that goes on both things of what I'm about to say. So to that degree, I don't really listen to music because I'm always in the writing mode and I need to protect myself and put myself in a bubble so that I don't accidentally write the song that's on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. I can hear
so
that.
That's like a very real thing that I have to get ahead of. And then on the flip side of that, I'm a highly susceptible person to influence. Whatever the fuck my girlfriend has on the radio, whatever she's listening to all the time is shit that I'll get into. Like for instance, Spencer's over here the other night and he would be like, "Hey Siri, play this." Or, "Hey Siri, play that." And I'm doing the same thing for all songs that Sarah knows. And I've like, I don't know any of these fucking artists. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So like there's certain things that I'm like getting like really privy to and drawn to. Like Tigran Hamasyan is someone that I've just been like, my eyes have just been like, all right, that guy. Sure. That guy created Tosin before Tosin knew what Tosin was. You know what I mean? Like he was doing like the weird, fucked up, angular, rhythmic, janky, unbelievably complex, cerebral shit, but just on piano.
Mm.
And Tosin's a fucking genius for doing what he does. And I'm like seeing them now work together. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't see that. I mean, I know that they know of each other. I didn't know that they were doing something together though.
They just collabed. They just collaborated on something. And I'm like, oh. God, I was waiting for that to happen. Fuck.
And seeing Tosin on the get the fucking Bill and Ted 3 thing. Dude, like I watched that right away. I literally shouldn't have paid $25 to Amazon for that fucking movie, but I was like, there's no way that I'm not going to. Like
I remember like wow, like all those dumb like 80s shit. Was it like now modernized like slapping
just a little bit. It's still shredding. It's still like little shred licks, but it's like, but it's Tosin.
You could hear Tosin in it.
Yeah.
That's it's really cool, bit. Dude. That's really fucking cool.
Yeah. It's really cool.
So that's someone that I've been like usually when I'm up in the morning, like making coffee or something, like I'll put that on. And if Sarah comes in, she's like, turn this off. It's too much anxiety for me. I'm like, oh, I love the cerebral shit.
I like jazz in the morning, baby.
Yeah, I'm all about it. So that's some other shit too, man. I just chuck on some fucking jazz. And that could be like YouTube and I won't even know who I'm listening to. Sometimes it'll just be like Chet Baker compilations. Sometimes it's like Lenny Tristano. Sometimes it's Miles Davis or John Coltrane. But more recently, dude, I would say that anytime that I seek out and I'm like, I want to listen to music and I type something in, it's always chill hop. That's just like my thing. So like there's this one artist that I've been like kind of into. It's this guy FKJ. Have you heard of him before?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it sounds familiar.
It apparently stands for French Kiwi Juice, which means nothing. But
all right.
But he's unbelievably fucking talented, is constantly collaborating with everyone in the realm, and also is living my fucking lazy life, my lazy couch life. He has a fucking like all like cedar wood fucking glass studio that's up in the trees. The whole fucking studio is filled with plants and like fucking like fountains and like fucking like it's like exactly where I want to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm so drawn to him. I don't know. But
that's cool.
that dude particularly has been drawing me to, all right, here we go. I've been learning jazz guitar. I've been nice. Like, I've been opening it up. Let me see if I can grab my little shitty notebook here. Dude, this is how legit I get. When I learn shit, I turn into a high school student.
Yes.
Doodles. I doodle and shit. Like, so I've got like, you know, secondary dominance and my fucking altered dominance and tritone substitutions and chromaticism, parallel movement, all this just like.
I love it. I love that you're taking up a whole page for each one of those things.
Oh yeah. And they're like are artistically put together. I will start again if I fuck up something because I'm nice. A perfectionist. My notes dictate how I absorbed it and how I reabsorb it later. It's weird for me, but honestly, man, like I'm so highly susceptible to influence that the shit that I've been listening to, I'm now like, fuck, I got to go learn how to do that. That's how bad it is. That's how bad
right.
it is.
Right. You were sharing some of that stuff with me. That sounds awesome, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. I forgot I showed you that. And that was before the full-fledged, like I'm going to fuck peel back the hood and see what the fuck's going on. That was me just like, that was me honestly going, what would I do production-wise? How would I make those sounds? If I wanted to make a drum set out of water droplet sounds only and organic noises, how would I do that?
Right.
If I wanted to make a song that used all acoustic guitar to where like, that was the song I showed you, to where the bass guitar was actually an acoustic process and all of the like keyboard sounding stuff was guitar. Mm-hmm. Like I set these parameters for myself. Where I want to make a song with only guitar. I want to make a song with no guitar in my hands and I only want to use samples. I want to make a song using this stand-up jazz bass line and I want to transpose it into a different key and rearrange every single note that exists to make a new bass line out of what was there. It's all about, for me, challenges and learning how to like live into that and fulfill the goal I set for myself. And I think the outcome of it is just like getting a little bit better for the next day.
Cool.
If anything.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Music. I really enjoyed listening to it. And I love those type of limiting/reductionist ways of challenging yourself, saying I'm only going to work within these parameters for a little while so that I can hone in on a little something different. And then each time you do that, you develop something that you can then apply globally to larger productions. And
yeah. it all becomes approaches and techniques to like, when you hit that wall again, you're like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Oh, what about that time where I like took a sample and rearranged every single thing to make something new? And then you're like, you're in the mix and you got the part and you're on.
Yeah.
Like it's fun, man. I love the explorative nature of like, thank God this pandemic is here.
Dude, I have to say like I'm having that's my personal paradox is that like I have the most amount of time to work in creative sessions for myself, right? Like I was already working from home and I was already the master of my own destiny, but then it's like then I also don't have to go out to a bunch of live shows every week at all. You know, I mean, that's the thing that I would do the most. Like sometimes I'd be out 5, 6, 7 shows in a week and you're just like, it's a lot of work, you know, it becomes a lot of work, whether you love it or not, you know? And, and so I'm like, I'm just home all the time and I got so many guitars. I got a Fractal 3 sitting here and I got a freaking MacBook Pro. It's like,
you're set, dude.
Dude, and I got a big bag of weed. What's up? You know, so it's like, and dude, recently there has been a new flux of like, I got that new tune track. It's not a brand new pack, but it's new to me. I got the hip hop.
Right.
Track. I'm an easy drummer guy. I just pull loops all the time. Right. And just, and then alter them a little bit, you know, and da-da, you know, and I just write some simple bass line and it's really been interesting just to be like, Chris, you have all this stuff and you don't have to be a good bass player to provide like a decent little bit of bass over like a cool drum beat. You don't have to be good at it.
No,
just like take a stab at it and then set it down and then play guitar. You're like, and then, you know, you don't have to even be good at playing guitar when you first pick it up. Like just, you wrote it, you did the bass line, so you have I just keep encouraging myself in this way. Like, I'm just be easy with it. Don't be, you know, in the other day I was like, oh yeah, I haven't used my 808 sub in a long time. I'm going to make a new thing, and just don't be precious with it. Just kind of just do the bare minimum to make something that almost sounds okay. And like out of that, like really low expectations, so many little songs, so many different little ideas, the melodies are born in a way, because I'm super not expecting anything to happen. But then I'm like, oh, whoa, that's so simple. And now this is so simple. And together they're kind of super dope.
I don't know if this is me throwing a dart and then pinning a target around it. But every time I find these things in our discussion where we could circle back, that's writing like a fool.
Yes. Yes.
That's all it is.
That's it, dude. You got it. You totally nailed me, dude. You got me good. Okay.
That's fuck you, bro.
That's it. That's totally it.
That's the best. You're just like, well, I'm on this road and I'm going that way.
I figured that that's kind of this. There's a weird, it's the fool that knows he's a fool is probably the best fucking situation you can find yourself in.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, I've had some experience, but I really don't know, honestly.
Dude,
please pardon me. I don't really know.
I love this because I'm clearly fucking throwing a target or throwing a dart and painting a target, but like,
yeah, it's fine.
I call that the Tonka toy truck theory. That's what I teach in my lessons. It's like, do you remember when you got your first toy truck at all? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I had a Tonka. I had the yellow one with the classic one. I could, dude, when I was first got it, I could get in the back of it.
So did I. And that exact, that the excitement that you just, oh yeah, dude. And I could like, so that thing, that childlike innocence of like every day where you realize like I could put dirt in it and then I could dump it out and push it down the stairs and fucking like all these like dumb little things that you're just innocently stoked about.
Sure.
That's good songwriting to me, is like picking up your guitar like a Tonka toy truck that you've never fucking held before and going, damn, that note is tight. What about this note plus that note? Whoa. And then you like, it's dumb when you like put words to it, but like, that's how I write music.
Dude, no, that is, I'm so happy to hear that. One second.
That's all of my music is like that.
Dude, it's like the thing that it fucking, I mean, you know this book, right? The Zen Guitar book.
Oh yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like it's just,
Gretchen got me onto that.
Gretchen Min?
Yeah.
Oh, dope. Yeah. I've read this so many times and it just, it harkens back to that beginner's mind, the whole thing that it's really expresses. About. Yeah. It's talked about.
That's
and it just to always, you know, that this is like you put on the white belt and no, you only get one belt in this dojo, right? Like, and you just, it just starts to change color as you progress, as you put in the time, as you show up and awaken into what it is that you're there for. This book, you know, gives you like, it talks about how like you don't have to be a master in the way that other people are a master. You can be a master in the way that only you can be a master. And that might mean playing one note or one song or whatever it is, just like with all of your spirit, you know, with all of the concentration and the you know, allowing the forces to align across the grid of you and offering that.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel that so hard, dude.
And so, or you might be the guy that chops up all the fucking bass notes and fucking, you know, and then shreds 30 seconds over it and then reverses the tape and puts a lot of reverb on it and siphons it through a fucking thing and brings it back from space three times from yesterday.
Yeah.
And then that's your product. Maybe that's you too. Maybe, or somewhere in between.
Yeah.
You know,
middle path,
like whatever, but whatever, wherever you find yourself, like push into it because, what is the, hold on one second. I have to pull this up.
Is that the kind of book that you could open to any page and it's like, oh, I needed that right now.
any page. And
I love those kind of books.
This was, I wish I could whipped it out quicker. What stands in the way is the way.
Yes.
So wherever you wake up and find yourself, and it, whatever it is, you know, that is the way. That's like, it's like there's no around, it's only through. Dude, kind of, it's kind of that type of mentality.
What the fuck is life? Depending on how deep I get into this accidentally, because I have zero fucking filter, like we could edit this out because there's a lot of shit that happened to me that's like the energetic, weird, mystical realm of shit that I'm like, oh, if that's real, then I gotta grow dreads and live in the fucking woods. Like, but
it's okay.
Oh God. How do I even want to talk about this? Well, fuck it. I'm going to bail on it completely. It's it. And this is one of those things where it's like, you get some sensation where it's like, no, that's yours. That's not yours to share. But
okay.
Here, I'll explain it like this. Remember when I was talking to you about like when I was living in Texas and I was going through like ridiculous anxiety, depression, suicidal fucking all that shit. In discovering Wim Hof, which is do you know Wim Hof method? I feel like we've talked about this.
Okay. Yes.
In discovering that, and then in discovering that like it accesses quite literally DMT in your brain, you could imagine some of the shit that was happening to me, because basically this shit saved my life. And one of these sessions I had, I walked away just like knowing something intrinsically to be like absolutely true for my life. And it was the single saying, embrace that which I resist. And like, I literally plastered that in huge fucking letters across my ceiling in my room. And it is the only way that I got out of my fucking darkness. It is the only reason I joined as Ice Nine Kills. It's the only reason I accepted moving to Los Angeles. That same thing of like, what was the fucking line you said? That which stands, you said something that stands in front of you. Is that what you need to go through?
What stands in the way is the way.
What stands in the way is the way. Yes. It's like, I'm just tripping out that like that was basically my lifeblood for the past year. Like the only way I got through shit was like that line right there.
Yeah.
So what the fuck, Chris? why is that the line you wanted in the book to talk about? What the fuck?
I don't know, man. It was just, that's what was, it came up for me. A friend sent that to me just the day before yesterday, and I've been sitting on it, and I've just been sitting on it for myself because of recent events. I've had a bunch of things just crop up for me in the last week, and it's all great stuff, but it also has made me, you know, it's like they're, be careful what you wish for, friends. Like the thing is that like when the time is right and you're in alignment with your presence, your calling or whatever it might be, and then you ask for stuff, it happens all the time, whether you're in full alignment with it or not, but because the word is powerful. But when you are somewhere in a good place, like in a really positive spot and doing well by yourself, and then you speak things to the universe, like,
it's crazy.
Careful, buddy, you know, like careful, because it'll show up on your doorstep and you'll be like, I mean, I did ask for this. This is, I thank you, universe. Like I, whew. But now I'm a different kind of scared. I'm like, oh, that changes things. So, and I'm not going to go into details, but it's been an interesting week, and mostly, I mean, all completely good, you know? So, life is really good. And yoga is a big part of it. And having meaningful work is a really good part of it. And having people that, like yourself that I can kind of get into, even though, I think, you know, we definitely, we're more of like, a bit of echo chambers to each other a little bit, you know, like, I'm a fan. I love my friends that all think similarly, but like just a degree or two off so that I can hear it in their voice, yeah, you know? Yeah. Because as somebody that who is constantly called to teach, I love being taught, and I love hearing it. And, the same things over and over again, just a little differently, a little different. Like, that's why I love the Zen proverbs. I love how they, the different ways of saying the same things under in different cultures.
Yes.
How they come out. And I like seeing the universalisms and seeing how, things can actually tie together, because it's so easy to go, oh, things are so separate. Like we're that, that's the, you know, it's very easy. And that most of our life is divisive and division, you know, as far as like the social media and sphere and how the vast majority think it's left versus right. And it's like, it's a small minded polarity, you know, it's a small minded, duality. It's yeah. more, you know, entry level duality thinking,
yeah,
you know,
truly
versus anyway, I don't want to get into that. I'm not trying to talk down about anybody.
I was about to go, dude, if we have to go down the rabbit hole of the fucking polarity and duality of right now, get ready for 3 more hours. Like,
no, and we got to wrap it up. I got shit to do, man. I think you do too. But,
Well, dude, I cleared 8 hours for this.
Oh my God, dude. I think my Zoom is always like sending me an email. You have used all of your, you know, space. Like, you need to delete something. And I'm like, oh man, whatever. But I had to delete everything so I could actually make space for this today.
Oh my God. Sorry, dude.
No, it's fine. I already downloaded it. I already used it. I just, you know, I'm just lazy. I'll back it up.
Cleaning, baby.
Yeah. Hey, man, I love you, dude. Like, let's pause it here, and we'll pick it back up. There'll be another round before too long, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, because we still have to make a guitar.
I know, dude. Oh man, guitars. All right. So send me a text or an email. We'll set up another time.
All right, dude. Part fucking four, I think.
Yeah, it'll be part 420, bro.
Oh, hella tight.
Hella tight, bro.
Oh, shit.
Man. Well, dude, it's always a pleasure. And, you know, I love you. Thank you for sharing so much about your process and yeah, you know, just being a bro, being a dude. Absolutely. In the world that's thinking about cool stuff and asking cool questions. Like, that's one of my things I like about you. You ask really good questions.
Hey, man, I appreciate the unbelievably in-depth conversation we always have. And it's weird to have like someone be like, I feel like I'm always like stifling myself, like with how much I allow myself to be myself. Mm. I feel like there's an interesting direct mirror reflection of like, we're just like both doing that and not giving a fuck. And I appreciate you allowing me to be me. And even though everyone is going to see this after the fact. So like, whatever. Yeah.
Same, dude. Whatever. Same. Samesies.
It's dope, and I appreciate you, and I love you, man. And I apologize for taking this many hours of your day. So let's put a pause on it.
Hearts to you, bro. Love you.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon, Dan.
Peace, bro.
Peace.